Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. In your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1247. Beginning with verse 19, we'll read through verse 26. We'll read the verses responsively. Once more, Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 26, page 1247 in your Scofield Bible. Let's please stand for the reading of the Word of God. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. The text verse is this verse, verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And let's pray. Father, thank you for our church. Thank you for this time of meeting together every Sunday morning, year after year, week after week. Here we are, and what a wonderful place to be. Thank you for the fellowship, long-established friendships in this place, and thank you especially for the fact that thou dost meet with us faithfully so. Where two or three are gathered together, thou art in the midst, and here in this place we know the presence of thy Spirit and have known it through these many years. Thank you for our preacher. Bless, we pray, the preaching and the time of listening to thy word preached. Holy Spirit of God, we pray that thou wouldst be in our midst in a very special and wonderful way this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to read for you, without your turning to it, one passage read a while ago, and which is my text message. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I want to speak this morning on the subject, let us live and walk in the Spirit. Now, let me read for you two other verses. But the fruit of the Spirit, in other words, if we're going to walk and live in the Spirit, this is how we're going to walk and live. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Our Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that you'd help me to be able to be used of God to help our people to live in the Spirit. And then once we are living in the Spirit, I pray you'd help me to help our people to walk in that same Spirit. Give us a transformation of life in many of our lives today. Amen. We'll use this mic here. And... All right. Follow me very carefully as I lay line upon line and precept upon precept a word of introduction. When you trusted Jesus as your Savior, the moment that you trusted Him, somebody came into your body to live. Let me explain. I looked this morning and I see Brother Colson's body. But there's something inside that body that lives there. That something is called a soul. And that soul, by the way, is that which enables him. Good morning, Brother John. How are you this morning?
Sure,
nice to see you this morning. It's a pretty tie you have. No wonder you stood up while I go and showed it off. Thank you very much. And now, That was the soul of Brother Colston that was interacting with me. So inside that oddly shaped body, there is an equally oddly shaped soul. Now, so I should have used somebody else in better shape like myself. But I look and I see a body, and inside that body there is a soul. Now, inside that soul there lives something else. There lives a spirit. Now, that spirit is that which was born when Brother Colston received Christ as his Savior. That spirit is that which does the same thing with God that the soul does with me. It is that soul that fellowships with me. It is that spirit that enabled Brother Colston to fellowship with God. Follow me carefully. Inside there is a body. Inside the body lives a soul. Inside the soul lives a spirit. Inside that spirit somebody lives, and that somebody is the Holy Spirit. That is a person. So inside this body, you see the body. Inside this body there is a dweller or a tenant, and that tenant is this my soul. Inside that soul there is a tenant, and that tenant is my spirit, little s, my spirit. And inside that spirit is big S, the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. Now, that Holy Spirit came into your spirit, which is in your soul, which is in your body, to live when you got saved. Now, he brings with him, follow me carefully now, here's the message. He brings with him when he comes a buffet of fruit. In Galatians chapter 5, it's called the fruit of the Spirit. He brings love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Those nine qualities, they're called the fruit of the Spirit. Now, if you think that's all one fruit, that's fine. You think they're nine different fruit, doesn't bother me at all. But those qualities come in you. Now, listen carefully. As I said in my class this morning, these qualities are not necessarily used by you. They are available to you. As I said in my class this morning, you go to a buffet and you pay the price. They give you a little ticket, and that makes you qualified to eat anything you want to in that buffet, but you don't have to eat anything. You can starve to death with a ticket if you want to, or you can gain 10 pounds with a ticket if you want to. It's up to you. It's a buffet. Now, a fruit buffet comes in with the Holy Spirit. He brings, don't leave me now, he brings inside your body the ability to have love, the availability of joy, the availability of peace, the availability of long-suffering, the availability of gentleness, the availability of goodness, the availability of faith and meekness and temperance. Now, he tells you to do two things. Hear me carefully. He tells you to live in the Spirit. Now, what does that mean? That means you are to live possessing these nine things. You are to live with love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. That you are to live in those things. Now then, he then says in Galatians 5:25, we're supposed to live in the Spirit. And then he says we're supposed to walk in the Spirit. Now those, I think, are not synonymous with each other. Follow me carefully as I lay again the foundation. When you got saved, maybe you're kneeling at the altar here, and you got saved. Inside your body there came a Holy Spirit to live in the Spirit, who lives in the soul, who lives in the body. And that Holy Spirit brought with him, see, an unsaved man cannot love. He can have what the world calls love, but he cannot love as God calls love. But he brings, an unsaved man cannot have joy. Now, the saved man may not have joy, but he can have joy because they're on the buffet. An unsaved man cannot have peace. God said, there's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. But the saved man can have peace or cannot have peace, but it's there. It's on the fruit buffet. Now then, these nine things, God says, I want you two things. I want you to live in these nine things, and then I want you to walk in these nine things. Now, what does it mean to live and to walk? Some say it means the inner, that live in the Spirit is the inward man, to walk in the Spirit is the outward man. I do not believe that. I don't think it's necessarily an untruth, but I don't think that's the primary teaching here. Some people say it's the same thing, to live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. But Paul said, those that live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. They're not the same thing. It's one thing to live in the Spirit, another thing to walk in the Spirit. Now, what does it mean? All right, follow me carefully. I live at 8232 Greenwood, Munster, Indiana. That's where I live. I walk when I'm outside my home. I walk in shops, at church, at school. I walk to the area, walk in the area. I drive. I live outside. I walk outside 8232 Greenwood. I live inside 8232 Greenwood. Now I'm going to tell you exactly what I think the Scripture teaches. I think the Scripture teaches that you have these nine things at home. You're also to have these nine things when you're outside your home. Where you live, you're supposed to live with love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance inside the walls of your house. But as you walk, I live inside 8232 Greenwood, Munster, Indiana. I walk outside 8232. God said, at school you're supposed to have these nine things. At work you're supposed to have these nine things. At the shop you're supposed to have these nine things. As you drive. As you drive, you're supposed to have these nine things. You'll walk and see somebody and bump into them and say, excuse me, get in the car and try to beat that same person down the street and get the inside lane. My Bible says, Paul said, I want you to live inside the Spirit. What God is saying at 8232 Greenwood, Munster, Indiana, I am supposed to possess love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And when I go outside to the shopping center or to work or to play or to eat the restaurant or the doctor's office or wherever I am, I am also supposed to manifest love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. Now then, I'm asking a question. Let's look at living the Spirit first. I walk up to your husband and I say, trying to figure out which one. I walk up to your husband, Mrs. Mock, and I say, Elton, what kind of Christian's your wife? Where's Elton? What kind of Christian? Let me ask you a question this morning. Suppose, lady, I walked up to your husband and asked your husband if you live in the Spirit. Do you manifest love at home? Do you manifest joy at home? You manifest peace at home. You manifest long-suffering or patience at home. You manifest gentleness at home. You manifest goodness at home. You manifest temperance at home. You manifest meekness at home. That's what the Bible said. Listen, I'm sick and tired of husbands and wives can't get along with each other. If you are a child of God, God commands you to live in the Spirit. And that means that the ones that know you best ought to say, he has love at home. He has joy at home. He has peace at home. He has long-suffering at home. He has gentleness at home. He has goodness at home. He has faith at home. He has meekness at home. And ladies and gentlemen, America needs a revival of decency and courtesy and common kindness and joy inside the walls of our houses. I walk up to your children and I ask you a question. Does your mother live in love? Does your mother have joy at home? Does your mother have peace at home? Or do your mom and dad fight all the time? It's time God's people quit acting like the heathen. That woman that lives at home with you deserves a decent husband. And that man that lives at home with you deserves a decent wife. And let me tell you something. If you don't have peace in your house, it's because you've not chosen to live in the Spirit.
live in the Spirit. That's God's command. God doesn't say, I wish you would, I want you to, I'd prefer you to. He commands you to live in the Spirit. Suppose I walk up to your wife this morning. Is your husband a good Christian? Ask a question, fellas. Deacons, if your wife were a deacon, would she have vetoed your being a deacon? Your name is called, your wife has veto power. Would she have had enough confidence in you to approve your being elected? Ask her a question. Preachers, if your wife weren't married to you, but she lived in your town where you pastor, would she join your church? I have a preacher, I know. One Saturday morning, he and his kids and his kids and his wife were watching a television program, a children's program. And the preacher wasn't there. And as the program went off, the announcer said, "Boys and girls, you be good. And don't forget tomorrow morning, go to a Sunday school in the church of your choice." The little boy looked at his mama and said, "Mom, we can't do that, can we?" His daddy was a preacher. "We can't go to the church of our choice. We got to go hear Daddy." I'm glad the rest of you caught it now. Ma'am, is your husband always loving at home? Is your husband always happy at home? I double dog dare you to talk to Beverly Joyce Hiles and ask her if I'm happy at home. On second thought, don't talk to her. Take my word for it. I'm supposed to be as happy inside the walls of my house, act as happy as I am outside the walls of my house.
When you say this way, you can always let your hair down, is at home.
That's hogwash. My Bible doesn't say the fruit of the Spirit is letting your hair down. If that's the case, you'd never have the fruit of the Spirit. And I barely could. That's hard. That's modern psychology. My Bible said you live in love, and you live in joy, and you live in peace, and you live in long-suffering or patience, and you live in meekness, and you live in temperance, and you live in gentleness, and you live in faith inside the walls. Listen, we need this morning an old-fashioned revival of husbands treating wives according to Galatians chapter 5. And wives treating husbands according to Galatians chapter 5. It's a disgrace. It's a shame. It's tragic. Said to this woman, "Do you wake up grouchy every morning?" She said, "No, I let him sleep." I'd hate to be a man. I'd hate to be a man here this morning. And my wife would have to think I was not happy at home. I'd be ashamed of myself. And I'd hate to be a wife today who's the queen of the household. Supposed to permeate the spirit of the household. Who's grouchy. Unloving.
When you say, "Lance, you just can't be loving all the time."
Show me a verse in Scripture.
"Well, Lance, you can't always be happy."
My Bible said rejoice evermore. What it says.
Yeah. And you can't always have peace at home.
That's the devil's garbage. I want to ask you a question this morning. Teenagers, let me get on you for a while. Your mom and dad think you're a good Christian? I didn't ask you if Ed Lapina thinks you're a good Christian. Does your mom and dad think you're a good Christian? How about your children? I didn't ask you, Brother Boyd or Brother Vogel or Brother Sisson thinks you're a good Christian. Does your mom and dad think you're a good Christian? You boys and girls, at home, do you live in this? Do you live in love? Do you live in joy? Do you live in peace? Do you live in long-suffering? Do you live in gentleness? Do you live in goodness? Do you live in temperance? Do you live in faith? I'm telling you today, boys and girls, if you're a child of God, you're supposed to exemplify these things at home, just like everybody else does.
Well, you know how teenagers are.
I know how Christian teenagers are supposed to be. The fact that you're a teenager doesn't give you an exemption from Galatians chapter 5. Suppose I ask your mother. Hey, ask you a question. Suppose I ask your brother. Is this your brother or yours? Suppose I ask your brother, is she a good Christian? Think all that. Better not. Suppose I ask your sister if you're a good Christian. Listen carefully to me. The five greatest honors I've had in my life, and I've had a few honors in my life, I preached at every great Baptist convention meeting in America. I know. I've been there. I've spoken at probably 15 great coliseums in the cities across America. I've probably had 5 or 6 doctor's degrees awarded to me. I've had some great honors. The greatest honor I ever had in my life was when the woman that I've lived with for 50 years stood behind this pulpit and said, I've lived with the greatest Christian I know. Of course, she goes to this church, so she doesn't know many good Christians. Now, I'm not sure she meant that. And I don't deserve her to say it, but that's the greatest honor of my life. I mean, that's where I take off my shoes. That's where I take off my toupee. I wish you'd take yours off sometime. That's where I have to take the garbage out. That's where I come in sometime with dirty feet on clean carpet. That's where I walk down sometime when the toast burns. She says to me, she said, your toast burned again today. She said, it's always yours. I look here, there's a piece of burnt toast in my plate, and there's a real nice piece in hers. She says, your toast burned again today. Now, you are as good a Christian as your wife thinks you are. You are as good a Christian as your husband thinks you are. You are as good a Christian as your son thinks you are. You are as good a Christian as your daughter thinks you are. You are as good a Christian as those that live inside the house. And God's command is, quit your fussing at home. Quit your griping at home. Quit your complaining at home. God said, live in the Spirit, and these 9 qualities are what you're supposed to possess inside your house. My second greatest honor of my life. 50 years ago last October, a couple of teenagers, too young to get married, but smart enough too. War was on. I was a paratrooper. We thought we'd never get to spend time together. Many of the fellows I grew up with were killed on the battlefield, and many of the guys with whom I trained were killed on the battlefield. We walked inside the bedroom of Ms. Howell's mother and father, C.M.'s daughter and his wife. It was 8 o'clock, so they were already asleep. We old folks are like that, you know. I said, we'd like to ask you all a question. They didn't even turn the lights on. Mr. Daughter, I said, Reverend, I want to get married. Never forget what he said. He said, I always thought folks were supposed to grow up before they get married. Show me scripture and verse, I said. But they finally agreed, let's get married. And we did. But they didn't like me very much. And I said to myself, I'll make them love me. I'll make them love me. 3 years after that, I've been discharged from the Army and been working for a year. Mr. Slaughter, my father-in-law, drove me home after work, and I laid oak floor for a living. I came in 109 degrees every day with blisters on my hands and worn out. One day, Mr. Slaughter, after several months of that, he looked at me and he said, I'm glad you married my daughter. He said, because I know you're a man. And I know your work. And I'll know you provide for her. 17 years after he got married, on his 70th birthday, I went to his house, and he was a hard man, a sweet, kind, good, gentle, honest man, but about God, he was a hard man. On his 70th birthday, I won him to Jesus Christ. And here's what he said when he bowed his head to pray. I said, ask God to forgive you and save you and tell him you trust in Jesus. But before he said that, he said, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that I have a son-in-law in whom I can trust. He'd be in hell today if I hadn't won his love. Now you listen to me. Time you men went home and said, we're not going to fuss anymore. First time you ladies went home and said, I'm not going to gripe anymore. I am going to live in my house in the Spirit. That's the second greatest honor I ever had. Honor number three. When my mother-in-law went to heaven out here at the college clinic, the last word she said that anybody heard her say was, I love you, Jack. I love you, Jack. Fourth greatest honor I ever had in my life was when I won my sister to Jesus Christ. We lived in the same house together. We sort of grew up together much of the time. She knows me. I became her pastor. I won her to Christ. And the fifth greatest honor in my life was I won my wife's brother to Jesus Christ. He went to heaven a year or so ago. Ask a question. If your wife wanted to be saved, would she call you? If your sister wanted to be saved, would she call you? I ask you again, what kind of Christian does your wife think you are? That's probably the kind of Christian you are. What kind of Christian does your husband think you are? That's probably the kind of Christian you are. A lady sat in my office last week and she said, my husband has a position here in this church, but she said in all the years we've been married, she said, I've never seen him read the Bible one time. That is a disgrace in the sight of God Almighty. Your wife ever see you pray? Your husband ever see you pray? Live in the Spirit. Now it says something else. It says, they that... fellas, be seated or slip out one or the other. Don't stand up back there. Ushers, help them. That's what you're there for. Oh, look at me. Hurry, ushers. Give them a seat quickly. Quick, quick, quick. Hurry. Good. All right, listen to me carefully. They that live in the Spirit, that's 8232 Greenwood, also should walk in the Spirit. What does that mean? That means where you work, you're supposed to think you're a good Christian. That means where you go to school, they're supposed to think you're a good Christian. That means where you buy your groceries, they should think you're a good Christian. That means outside your home, wherever you go, you should manifest love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance everywhere you go. Live at home in the Spirit. Walk outside your house in the Spirit. I was checking the Mayo Clinic. Told my class this morning. Little lady there, she said, I was checking in by myself there at the desk. She said, you're 70 your next birthday. Where is your retirement home? I said, heaven. That shook her up. She's going to ask me what my birthday was, but she all shook up. She said, do you have a birthday? I looked, I said, no, ma'am, I was just created. And everybody in that whole place started laughing. They just cracked up. She said, I've been here 15 years. I've never asked anybody if they have a birthday before. I said, you've never talked to divinity before either. Brother, where Jack Hiles goes, walks outside his home, they're going to feel love. And they're going to see a guy that has joy. And they're going to see a guy that's peaceful. And they're going to see a guy that's patient. You say, why? I'll tell you why. I'm commanded to walk in the Spirit. And the Spirit says these nine qualities
or the way I'm supposed to walk. Suppose I ask your boss what kind of Christian you are. Suppose I ask your boss, does this employee exemplify love? Is he happy? Does he have joy? Is he peaceful? I know Christian people can't get along with folks where they work. Disgrace. Disgrace. Sin. Suppose I ask your school teacher what kind of Christian you are. Suppose I ask your school pupils what kind of Christian the teacher is. Suppose I ask the folks that work with you what kind of Christian you are. Suppose I ask the people that go to school, your schoolmates, what kind of Christian you are. Suppose I ask your neighbors what kind of Christian you are. Suppose I ask your creditors. I've had Christian doctors tell me, I don't want anything to do with Christianity. Because I tell you, dozens of Christian people have owed me money for years. Now you listen to me. You hear me well today. If you don't pay your debts that will not destroy your credit rating as well as you do the debts that will destroy your credit rating, you're not right with God. I said you're not right with God. Sit out there and eat McDonald's hamburgers or Burger King hamburgers or go out and eat a Cracker Barrel and owe somebody money and not paying your debts. You're a crook. I said a crook. Walk in the Spirit. Do you manifest these 9 qualities at work? Do you manifest these 9 qualities when you're shopping? Do you manifest these 9 qualities at school? Do you manifest these 9 qualities while you drive down the street? They that live in the Spirit, inside the house, should also walk in the Spirit outside the house. Years ago, Ms. McKinney told me where to go get my income tax place filled out. It's an attorney on Cayman City. I think at that time he was down in Hammond. Spent years as an attorney in Cayman City, and I took advice, went over. For years, he did my income tax. After several years, first thing he said, I walk in, and he says, you're always on time. I'd walk in and have an appointment. If it's 2 o'clock, I walk in at 2 o'clock, not 2:01. He said, you're always on time. 1 year I walked in, he said, just told my secretary, 1 minute, he'll be here. And he said, sure enough, in 1 minute, there you were. 1 year, he's an older man, 1 year. He was alone in the office. He had done my taxes for a while. And I said, Mr. Harney, I understand your wife passed away recently. He said, that's right. I said, I want you to know I apologize. I'm sorry for you and I sympathize with you. I said, Mr. Harney, you've been a wonderful help to me. I'd like to tell you about the best thing that ever happened to me. He and I always enjoyed each other. We fellowship. We had fun. I'd cut up. I said, Mr. Harney, do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? He shook his head. Talking about a lawyer now. I said, would you like to know? He shook his head. By the way, every year he did my taxes, I gave him a sizable tip over and above the taxes. I was always on time. He always wanted to talk to me, and he'd like to linger a while and talk to me. I lingered that day, and Mr. Harney bowed his head and came to Christ and trusted Christ to save him. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. I drive by a place down here on Columbia on 175th Street. It used to be called White Hen Pantry. For years, White Hen Pantry was there, and I stopped every morning to get me a USA Today paper. A little lady waited on me. Short, stocky, white-haired lady waited on me. We always had fun. customer's usually in there, and I'd cut up with her, say a few words. And she's a Notre Dame fan, and I'd walk in and say, "Boo, boo for old Notre Dame. If you are their fan, it is a shame." And she'd laugh, and she'd say, "What team are you for?" I'd say, "Whoever plays Notre Dame next week." One day, after we become good buddies, I was the only customer in there. I asked the Lord to keep some customers out, and he put an angel at every door. Nobody came in. I had about 10 minutes. For the first time in years, I had that much time. I won that lady to Jesus Christ. Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you, Mr. Harney, the attorney, died in the last year. Went to heaven. I wouldn't be surprised, but what had something to do with the fact that a preacher came in there he learned to have confidence in. I won that lady to Christ at White Hen Pantry. Not long after that, her husband sent me a note that she'd passed away. I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you witnessed to your lawyer, would it shock him? I've told you I worked at J.C. Penney Company. 20 hours a week. I sold more clothing in 20 hours than any man did in that store in 40 hours. After I'd left the store, I became pastor of a church. Mr. Lafitte, the head of the men's department, and his wife both got saved in a little country church out in Edgetown. Secretary up there named Barbara Pruitt, she got saved. She brought her father, he got saved. Her mother got saved. Her sister Dorothy Hall got saved. Dorothy's husband Sam Hall got saved. The man that was the manager of the shoe department got saved. His wife got saved. Mr. Sharp in the men's department, assistant manager, he got saved. His wife got saved. His whole family got saved. Mrs. Post at the hosiery department got saved. Her son Charles got saved. 19 people that worked in J.C. Penney Company got saved within 3 months after I left the store. I wonder if it had anything to do with the fact that I worked hard. I'll close with this. One of the best Sunday school teachers I ever had, and I won't call his name. One of the best Sunday school teachers I ever had was a floor layer by trade, laid oak floor. Every time you try to witness to my unsaved dad, he'd say, "I'll call his name Mr. Johnson." I just lost every Johnson in the church. His name Johnson. My dad would say, "Mr. Johnson, if that's what a Christian is, I don't want anything to do with it." He was my Sunday school teacher 1 year, one of the best I ever had. And my unsaved alcoholic dad said, he says the same dirty cuss words on the job I say. He makes the same passes at the women I make. Mr. Johnson lived in the Spirit, but he didn't walk in the Spirit. And I'm as sure as I am that that arm is right there today, that if Mr. Johnson had walked in the Spirit, my dad would be walking down the golden streets of heaven today. I hate to even say it, but I have a little burn right here and right here. And I have never hurt so much in my life as I hurt the last week. But I've thought 1,000 times about my daddy. The Johnson could have changed him. My daddy would have gotten saved because my dad was proud of his boy, but I was just a child in those days. America's looking for some people, sure, that believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. Sure. Yeah, America's, God wants some people in America who name his name, who don't drink, sure, and don't curse, sure, and don't watch Hollywood movies, sure, and don't take dope, yeah. America needs a bunch of Christians that don't watch the soap operas and the movie houses, sure. But America needs a generation of Christians who live at their 8232 Greenwood in the Spirit, and who walk outside their 8232 Greenwood in the Spirit. Ask a question. Do you live in the Spirit? Inside your house? Does your wife think so? Does your husband think so? Does your child think so? Does your brother think so? Does your sister think so? Does your mother think so? Does your father think so? Do you walk in the Spirit? Does your beautician think so? Does your barber think so? Does your grocer think so? Does your clother think so? Does your cleaners think so? Does your laundry think so? Do your employees think so? Do your fellow workers think so? Do your fellow students think so? Do your neighbors think so? The Apostle Paul, as the Holy Spirit inspired him, commanded us to do two things. Live in the Spirit. That's at home. Walk in the Spirit. That's when you walk outside your home. Would you bow your heads, please?